Good morning, and welcome to A Healthier You. I am your host, David Christopher, without my co-host, Fawn, but I've got some special guests, so hang on. Might as well start right off the bat. We've had Dr. Ann Tracy on the program many times before, and we're happy to have her, but she has a special guest that she's invited on. He's calling in from Stuttgart, Germany. John, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
John, give us your full name.
John Virapen.
All right. And Anne, you want to say something to John?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Now, I understand that Anne wanted you on the program today because of you're getting approval for Prozac in Switzerland. Is that correct?
Sweden.
In Sweden.
Sweden, yeah.
Sweden. Well, shame on you.
Well, I'm a Swedish national, even though I don't look like a Swede. I'm of Indian extraction, and I've lived in Sweden most of my life, and that's where my career in the pharmaceutical industrial complex started.
And so that was quite a while ago, I guess, that you got that approved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was 1968. I've been in the industry for over 35 years, and still I'm retired, but based on all the atrocities that these people are doing, I had to come back out and tell my story.
So it sounds like you've had a change of heart.
Well, not a change of heart, but I just can't sit around and watch what's going on and not say anything about it because I know so much. 35 years with this industry internationally and have done more corruption than the governments and everybody is doing, you know, in the industry alone. It's really horrific. It's terrible.
Well, give us a little example of that with, say, the Prozac thing. What did you find out about Prozac that made you turn the other way?
Well, it's not only Prozac. It's everything that these people do. But the reason I'm coming out of... Anyway, I would like to mention my book that's just been released in America.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's called Side Effects Death.
Well, that's pretty strong.
Yeah. And the name speaks for itself. And I am 100% behind it. I can prove everything I say. And I have also physical evidence to prove what I say. So it's out in America a week ago. And I think... your country would be interested in having a look at this book because it's a little bit different from a lot of stuff that's on the internet.
And they can find out information about the book on what your sideeffectsdeath.com?
Yes, sideeffectsdeath.com.
That's easy to remember.
Yeah, or my name, johnvirapen.com.
John Virapen. Now, is there a subtitle of this?
Confessions of a Pharma Insider.
Confessions of a Pharma Insider.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us some confessions right now?
Pretend
well,
you're a priest.
I was the general manager of Eli Lilly in Sweden when Prozac came on. Prozac was a sort of emergency for them at that time because they were planning to bring out a drug called Benoxaprofen or Oprin. I don't know if you ever heard of that one. But that was pulled off the market because it killed a lot of people in a very short time when it was registered in other countries like Germany and in England.
And what was its purpose?
Pardon?
What was its purpose?
To treat pain, arthritis, arthrosis.
They've had quite a bit of problem with arthritis drugs, haven't they?
Yeah, well, not only them, but the funny thing is that the drug is almost a copy of Vioxx that Merck came out with a few years later. And You know, it's incredible that these people came out with a drug that is almost identical to binoxaprofen and caused the same problems when they had it out a little longer. And it's just amazing. So how can this happen?
So they had the information on what the other drug did and still didn't put it out.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't understand what the reasoning is there. Does it work that well that you don't care about the side effects or what?
No, it makes a lot of money.
Well,
because that's what the industry is all about. They don't care about anybody's health. Who ever thought that?
I mean, why would anybody take a drug unless it worked or something? I mean, what?
Because we are all conditioned. People are conditioned by these people during the years. You believe that they are doing something good. They come with a drug and they say, hey, this is good for your arthritis. And, you know, they show the advertising. That's another thing. I mean, why do they allow these people to advertise dangerous drugs? I mean, when you come with a painkiller and you show a video with elderly people dancing boogie-woogie or whatever, this blows me away. Anyway, they came with the Prozac because the pipeline didn't have much, and they decided to bring out Prozac, which actually their plans were to launch this drug for obesity. But as you well know, and
to cause it, right?
Also, to get a registration for obesity is not easy. So they brought it out for depression. That's when the SSRI started. Prozac was the first, or fluoxetine was the first. Now, at that point in time, when binoxaprofen got taken off, these executives and these companies were not thinking of sales of 100 million or 200 million. You know, in those days when I was working before Prozac and all of them, they were getting $100 million of sales. We would drink champagne and celebrate. Wow, it's a success. They started to aim at the billion-dollar mark. And Prozac was the first billion-dollar blockbuster, they call it. Now, I was among the first people in the world of the industry, especially Eli Lilly, to submit a registration for Prozac with the authorities in Sweden. Now, normally in Sweden, it'll take about 7 years to get that registration. So they put the hammer on my head and said, do it. We don't care how you do it. Just make sure you get it out there.
So how
my job may depend on it.
So how did you do it?
I bribed the professor. There's a clinical section of the approval that goes to a consultant in Sweden, some famous professor. We never know who they are. But, I mean, I was the manager at the time, and I was also inside in the industry. So we can figure out who it is. There were about a choice of one in five. And I found out who this guy was, and I chat him up and use whatever talents I had. He became my friend, and then I told him, look, I won Prozac through. And he laughed because he didn't like the drug in the first place. They were all laughing at the drug. They said it was useless. I mean, it's not anything that you can think about. Anyway, I said, but I want it registered. I want to push through the system as quickly as possible. And he was the man to do it because what he says is like getting the final approval. So I said, what would it take? He said, money is good. And I called the company and told them, yeah, the guy wants money. And they said, well, set it up. I did. And he worked over the whole file, polishing it so that there wouldn't be any questions by the board, which would give it a speedy registration. Now then, after his work was done, the product came to the board for final approval. So the board called me and said, John, go and get your price negotiations done. You always have to negotiate with the government. That is a sign to pharma companies that your product is going to be registered. So I went, I did the price negotiations, and good old me, I managed to get a very, very high price for them. Because these companies don't deal with anything else but premium pricing. This is the buzzword in the industry for us people like me. Anyway, I got the price. And the board came back and said, look, listen, guys, we give you the registration, but we would like you to bring a 5-milligram dose. Because mm-hmm. it was only the 20 milligram that was submitted. And suddenly all sorts of hotshot executives and doctors and people came running into Sweden from around the lily world, London, Indianapolis, and so forth. They even came and took over my office, these people, these medical people. Anyway, they said no. They will not bring a 5-milligram dosage.
Do you know why, John?
Yeah?
We've brought it out in court cases, and I don't know if you were aware, but they knew that Prozac would work in the 5-milligram dose, but they wanted to target the general doctors rather than just psychiatrists, so they wanted to
see an immediate
effect.
That wasn't the reason, Anne.
That's what Thompson said.
Yeah, well, Thompson, yeah.
Lay Thompson.
Well, he's dead now. The other idiots, they're there now. The reason behind the 5-milligram dose refusal is I had negotiated a price of $1.20 per tablet, and that price, even though they did not get the registration, was an official price that they could use around the world, saying this is what Sweden has done, because Sweden is a very reputable, high-flying country when it comes to drug approvals. So if they brought the 5-milligram, it would have meant 25% of the price of 120, which means that they would lose 75% of the incoming revenue. That's the only reason. Not a medical thing that they've been thinking of. They didn't care. All they cared about was their income. And it turned out that the 20 milligram started annihilating people all over the world after the first year or so of usage. And that's not right.
So it was the 20 milligram that was approved?
Yeah. That's the price they took and went all over the world to get that level of pricing in other countries. Because it's a price regulation here in Europe with countries like Sweden. I don't know if Germany is involved right now, but all the other countries, they had a special formula based on the pricing in different countries. And being a new drug, and it was not approved. It was approved in Belgium and Belgium, I know it was approved in. So there was an open gate to put a pretty high price. And that is one of the problems you have in America right now, that your government is not looking at because of the industrial people and their interests. You know, the pricing of the drugs in America is woo. It's people are paying these high prices for drugs. That, first of all, they told me if you give away Prozac, they'll still make money.
And how's that?
It's addictive.
It's so cheap to produce.
It's addictive, too.
You know, imagine if you sell... I was told, I can't prove it, but I was told that the drug costs about... let's assume it costs 5 cents. It can't be more. A tablet. And you're selling it at $1.20. The math is easy.
Pretty good profit.
Yeah. No, it's not a profit, it's a rip-off.
Yeah.
This is a... So, you know, it's not right. Now, at that time, when I was doing this with Sweden, with the bribery, Germany sent a memo to them, because they had submitted in Germany. The Germans sent a memo and said, we're not going to register this thing because it's a useless product. It don't work. And there are a lot of side effects.
Mm-hmm.
That memo I have. Well, it's been posted on the internet also. 1 year later, the Germans approved the product. I have been asking them now the last few years to tell me what clinical documentation was submitted to make them change their mind. They haven't replied.
Yeah.
They don't have any.
They don't have a copy of that check, huh?
No. But somebody else have had a copy of a new one.
So
I'm convinced that it came about, the registration in Germany came about the same way I went about doing the Swedish registration.
So just out of curiosity, about how much would it cost to buy off in a government official like that?
Well, it depends. When I did it, the cash money was about $25,000-$30,000.
That's all?
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me. All
minute,
those lies were worth it.
Wait a minute. That's just the peanuts in front of the bowl. They also promised him a long-term study at his clinic. And this guy was strapped for cash because he needed to fund his staff and his research at the hospital where he was the head psychiatrist. A long-term study would have involved millions of dollars. That is a part of the package that they didn't put on paper, word of mouth, that I arranged for him. It never happened because the whole thing with Prozac not being registered in time and so forth. But I was taken out of the project then. They promoted me to Puerto Rico as their director for the Caribbean and the Central American area. And they fired me after 1 month.
Hmm.
They're high achieving. I was rated an achiever. I was rated one of their best employees. And then they fired me after 1 month, which I later found out was a conspiracy. It was all a setup. If they had fired me... You see, the guy who became a chairman of the board, who was president of international, or vice president he was at the time, in London, he became... Prozac was his baby, and Prozac made him the chairman of the board in Indianapolis. He started to clean his tracks. And I was in his way. I knew too much. So they got rid of me.
You want to drop a name there?
Sidney Turrell. Chairman and CEO.
Yep.
Oh, and I know Lee Thompson. I had the talks with him. He used to come and visit. But unfortunately, he died. He was a nice man, but I don't give much for the rest of them in that company. Now, mind you, that's not the only company I work for. I work for some other big ones, global players, and this, albeit on a different level, but the same thing happens there. I haven't had, let's put it this way. I don't know any of these companies that have a good heart. At least the ones I worked with.
Or any heart?
Well, no, that's right. They don't have it in my next book that's going to come, I don't know, in a year or so. I've written there that these are the, I don't know if you've ever heard the talk about unemotional people. Only unemotional people work in the pharmaceutical industry. They have no emotion whatsoever. Their only craving is the mighty green dollar, or well, euros, or whatever it may be.
Let's bring that into today. In yesterday's paper at Front Page News, Lancet retracts autism report. Have you read that about Wakefield studies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm into that now.
Oh, yeah?
Doing some heavy research to tell the people what really is going on.
So
this is not a setup. It's a scam.
This is fairly unprecedented, isn't it, for Lancet to actually withdraw a study from what they had published?
Yes. Lancet, mind you, has some people behind them in high places, and they're very careful about the paper. Because it has a fairly good reputation in the medical world.
Right. It's in England like JAMA is here.
Yeah.
Journal of American Medical Association.
Yeah. But you have royalty behind that paper.
Making it even more prestigious.
Yes. The royals are involved. Rupert Murdoch. You know who he is.
Oh, pretty big names here, yes.
Well, he and his family, they're involved with these royals somehow. But somebody wrote that on a thing that came out yesterday. And there's a connection because there's some more papers involved in a kind of a conglomerate. I don't know exactly. I'm looking into that right now. But apparently, the idea, the base idea is cream this guy, Dr. Wakefield.
Oh, yeah, he looks like he's going to lose his medical license.
Yeah, he is, they got him. They got him tied up in a bag, just like they've done with other people. I can't get any names coming to me right now.
And all of the researchers are abandoning ship like rats, you know?
Yes. But they are rats in the beginning, anyways. You know, the researchers, I mean, if you look at it this way, private research does not get any funding, or let's say get enough funding to really be to make them honest. The pharma industry walks in and buys them, pays them well, and then tells them, this is what we want. And they go out and they find a little, you know, like Prozac, for example, fluoxetine, they change a little atom somewhere, calls it something else, and they get another 20-year patent on a drug. This is how it works.
And you're living there not very far from Dachau.
From where?
Dachau.
Oh, yeah, the town. In is it Poland, no?
And we've got them all over America. We call them research centers. Come in, get your free
all
drugs.
All these CROs, they call them, clinical research organizations.
Right.
That reminds me of when I used to go to Rome to my tailor. Because then I can tell him, this is how I want my suit.
Yeah, they're certainly not going to pay someone to come up with something contrary to what they're selling.
Exactly. Exactly. So the whole industrial complex is a mess. And it's only coming out now because your government started catching the banks. That's another bunch of crooks.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and they've also killed too many people with the drugs.
Yeah, well, imagine the pharma industry. You think they left the insurance companies and the banks alone? No. They have a lot of money in there. They know how to manipulate these people.
Right.
If not, they probably own most of them. I mean, the banks are unemotional. You ever go to a bank and you meet a manager there, he's going to be nice to you as hell. And buy your house, give me the mortgage, we take that, we're trying to help, we're being nice to you. And then one day you have a problem, and you go to him and say, well, look, I need your help, I need a little more money. He's going to turn around and say, well, I'm sorry, my hands are tied. Unemotional.
And by the way, give me back your house.
That's right. He says, I'm forced to take it. And they don't have any they're unscrupulous people. So
conspiracy?
Conspiracy.
That's lying to make money.
Yeah. Money is the big word.
And some people aren't even interested in money. They're just interested in power, and money's just their vehicle for getting that power.
Yeah, well, the money gives them the power.
That's right.
And do you know that there are 450-odd lobbyists in the pharma industry? Now, that would make more than one person per Congress.
Yeah, and if they all got big pockets, that's a lot of money.
Yes, and not only that, they're so bought that the pharma companies own them. You know, they're like little slaves. And that is the highest form of corruption, lobbying, and it's legal.
I guess
so. Imagine the consequences during the years. With this industry and other ones too. Look, there's corruption and bribery and everything else in all walks of life. You just look around where you're living right now down the street corner, there's corruption going on. You never know. The car industry, the food industry, the oil industry. But don't do it with people's health. This is what I'm fighting against. This is sacred. Your health is sacred. Health care, for example, like the discussions going on in America, is a right. It is not a choice or an option. It is your human right. And if you look at all the discussions of that's been going on in America since when the health care bill came up, when Obama came to power, and they're discussing everything. Not one time have I seen, and I read all the news, I got the TV stations, everything, have I heard anything about somebody talking about the patients or the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a discussion of money. The doctors, they're the salesmen now. How much money do I make? I don't want to take this card. I don't want to take... That is not primum est non nocere. First, do no harm. That is corruption. I'm sorry, David. I you might be a different kind of doctor, but...
Oh.
No, this is fine. Everything you're saying is just great. And we're on an independent station. This station isn't owned by chains. Most radio stations have been bought up. This one's
a fully
independent station. So, yeah, we can say what we want.
Okay, well, that's good.